gift to support Dreamer Scholarships at PCC, organizers are aiming to raise $25,000. Since its opening in 2017, the Dreamers Resource Center has provided mentorships, support services, and scholarships for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program students. The center serves 20 families and 20 students per academic term through the college's Community Resource Hub. It provides legal services, helps with DACA applications and renewal applications, organizes workshops on student support and college navigation resources, and conducts academic and career advising sessions.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. You can call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael and Aaron Bernard. The producer is myself, Annette Newell, and our engineer is Althea Billings. The director of Evening News is the hardworking Althea Billings also. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Annette Newell.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Stay tuned for News from the Boo coming up next. Well, good evening. You are listening to News from the Boo, the show here on KBOO Community Radio, where we give you news from inside the station and what's going on and all those fun things that our volunteers and members love to hear about. I'm Jenna Yokoyama, your host for News of the Boo, and I am joined with Aaron Yankee today, our program director, and also Celeste Carey, because actually, I'm not going to be doing the interview this time. We got Aaron to do interviews, because Aaron, why are you interviewing?
The reason that I'm interviewing is because we have new KBOO co-station managers, and they are, surprise, Jenna Yokoyama and Celeste Carey.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron, because I didn't feel like interviewing myself.
I think it could get a little weird. Although you could pull it off.
I think it would get confusing.
Yeah. Right, so I am just here to help facilitate us getting to know our new station managers, but we have known Celeste and Jenna, we as the KBOO community have known Celeste and Jenna for quite a while now. Celeste, do you want to start off with what your history is with KBOO and what you what you were doing up until you became the co-station manager?
Well, I've been with KBOO 30 years. Came in as a news volunteer. I worked under Eugene Rashad, then Eugene. Did a little bit of news. And I have a background in radio and television. Worked at a couple of cable access stations back east in the Midwest, as well as done radio broadcasting and a little print media. Okay, I'm not being vain, but I went to Missouri University Journalism School. Okay. Anyway, I like KBOO, so I just kind of like hang out here all the time. I served on the programming committee, and then when there was a vacancy for a show, I was part of the collective that did the show until after the second show. Everybody dropped out of the collective and said, it's going to be your show. So I've been doing that show, I think, since 1991 or two.
But that's the history of More Talk Radio?
No, that was an evening of Afrotainment.
Oh.
I didn't start More Talk Radio until we at KBOO decided we wanted a talk strip. And I was one of the folks that was asked, would I do it? And initially, I did it with Ronell Shern, who was another volunteer here. And he did it with also Cecil Prescott. And then one day, Ronell said, this is not me. I can't keep up with this stuff. And so Cecil and I started doing it together. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing those shows since in the 90s. And then I also became a co-programmer with Shahid Rashad and a couple of other folks that rotate in for Proverbial Perspectives, which was the Black Public Affairs program here at KBOO. A little later on, I turned that into Teen Talk. And we used to bring teens from the middle schools here to talk about issues that affected them. And I served on the board for 10 years in a row. And I did that because I enjoy KBOO. And I don't think there's a committee I haven't been on except the engineering committee, maybe. And the only job I haven't done here at the station officially that volunteers would take would be, I can't think of one. Because I've even did the ticket giveaways, like what Sun does, and helped with the development committee. So I cleaned bathrooms. Does that count?
Excellent. That's the most important thing for a station manager.
That's what I think, too. You know, you got to be a servant if you're going to be a leader. So that's my history. It's like I just been here. I do things. I've been on hiring committees. A lot of times staff ask me to do stuff, and I'll just come in and do it. So that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Jenna?
My history at KBOO goes back 4 years. I think I've been here for 4 years, and KBOO is where I first radioed ever, so I learned how to radio here.
Well, you radioed only 4 years ago?
Yeah.
You learn fast. That's important, y'all.
I mean, it was more like I came in and was like, oh, radio's fun. Oh, my God, I'm obsessed. So that's how it kind of went. I just, like, super binged radio. Mm-hmm. And, so I think I started in the newsroom just like you, mm-hmm. and at that time, Jenka was our news director when I first came in, and then Lisa shortly after that, and then I filled in for her a couple times when she was, like, on vacation, so that was kind of my intro to the newsroom there my first year, and I remember I was a producer and anchor, all that sort of stuff, board op, and then I went from the newsroom to joining the Pacific Underground Collective, and I was in that for a couple years, cool. but then had to take a step back when I got onto staff here because I just didn't have time to do that collective because I was the cat herder for that collective. And I love those cats. What's up? So I was on that.
Meow, meow.
Yeah. And then working here, my first job ever here at KBOO was actually filling in for Aaron when you went on your sabbatical.
Dreamy sabbatical.
Yeah. Yeah. I just imagine.
I hear there'll be another one soon.
Ooh.
We're hoping.
Yeah, there needs to be sabbaticals for everyone, just because, mm-hmm. you know what?
They work hard.
Yeah, being on staff here at KBOO, I was just like, wow, the staff works so hard. I think everyone needs a sabbatical every 3 months. You should get another 3 month sabbatical, because you guys all work so, so hard. I think that the KBOO community is so incredibly lucky to have you, Aaron. You work so hard. And you also gave me my first opportunity to, like, be on staff and to work. Like, Celeste is all drinking something over there.
I can't say the name because it has a big name, but it's a pomegranate sparkling
this
soda.
This is how much we're That's at the it. Station. We even just, mm-hmm. like, okay, we've got to do interviews.
Just plug
and
right in as soon as we're done.
Time.
Okay,
yeah, so
but let's get back to
my first
the,
time was yeah. being, filling in for you when you were on sabbatical. And then after that, I became the national syndication content producer, I think is that title we came up for that one. Mm. And I sort of set up that job of what is it to syndicate stuff from KBOO onto other stations. So that's a job that I miss doing because I like doing that job quite a bit. And then after...
I think I must have met you right before you started doing that then here at KBOO.
Yeah. And then, let's see, then after that, then... Oh, I disappeared for a little bit because I went and I worked at another station where I got myself fired from that job because I was too cool. I like to think I was too cool for that radio station. Then I came back here. And then
we were so happy.
Thanks for being happy that I got fired. And then I came back here because it was actually at the time that you all were looking for an interim public affairs director.
Yeah.
And that was back in February. So then I became the interim public affairs director. Then I got hired on as the full-time public affairs director. And then now there's a need for a station manager. So I said, well, I guess I want to be employed for full-time as for just 1 month as a public affairs director, and then switch apparently over to being the interim station manager. So I like to think of my time at KBOO, it's kind of like Celeste, where I'm like, I think I'm just going to do a little bit
of everything. I've been a teacher here.
We both had fun teaching folks.
Teaching. That means
you can come in and learn.
Yeah, that's right. I've cleaned the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. I highly encourage anybody who enjoys cleaning that. We always have bathrooms you can clean here at KU.
Yes, we do.
Come on in. I've definitely, I've done the news. You know the one thing I haven't done?
What's that?
Is that I've not done remotes.
I've done remotes. I used to help them do the Alberta Blues Festival, and I've done the King remote.
I have been part of the remote team.
Oh,
and
but you haven't
done. I have
been
the person who sat in the air room. So gotcha. When Blues Fest is going on, I am that person that sits at the board.
No, you got to come out
in
the field.
I listen to everyone else having fun, and I sit there by my lonesome going, they sound like they're having so much fun. I sit there getting ready to hit the dump button. So I feel like I've been part of remotes.
That is an important part of the team.
But I have not figured out the part of actually leaving the building to be part of the remote. So that's part of the goals. Yeah. Because if you listen to the last news from the Boo, I was talking about how I never do reception. And I would just like to tell everyone, I did it. I transferred calls, and I didn't hang up on people for the first time ever. Go me!
Yay!
So I've
only done it once with
this
new phone system.
Anyone can
Clearly, we're letting the KBOO listening audience know that we are too deeply well-connected, understanding of KBOO community radio folks at the helm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have maybe, because you're interim, so there will be a permanent hire somewhere along the way, but do you have maybe a first 100 days kind of a plan of what you think is, what's the most important to you to get done in your interim time?
I think our biggest challenge right now is giving the staff some stability in how they are, number one, paid, how the duties are divvied up so they're not overworked, to make sure that we have a really strong development director coming in here so that we can meet goals. Because KBOO has grown. When I first started working here, I think our budget was roughly $350, maybe $360 a day. It's not that anymore. We have grown. We have put in some deep roots. And we need to start thinking of ourselves as $1 million industry,
or
not industry, facility and corporation and broadcasting family. To do everything right, we need about that. And so we need some strong development team. Some other things, we're looking at some basic facility and capital improvement issues that we can maybe get started. I've been helping with board training and development. What else?
Well, I think a lot of it is also, at least, we've been in the job for 2 days. And
yes,
oh my
two whole
goodness,
days.
We have been working really hard.
I think
hard.
We've put in something 90 hours.
In 2 days. we've been working.
You put together what we've
hours
done.
A day.
Uh-huh.
But it's first, it's addressing the backlog of work.
Yes.
To be honest, there, we haven't really had a full-time manager at KBOO
for months.
Since the beginning of 2019. And so there is a backlog of work just that has to be addressed from just day-to-day duties and just bigger projects that were sidelined because we were having to deal with this or with that, or, oh, we'll wait till we get a full-time manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we are here to do that. The list is much longer than I realized. But I think it's totally doable, especially since we have the two of us here and we have a really amazing, team that when it comes to staff. We do have some openings right now, but we also have a lot of established staff, people who are really, really helpful and just that historical knowledge and also just helping us get things done.
Yes.
So we're hoping that we can also be helping the staff to catch up on their backlog of work, because when you don't have a manager, a full-time manager for nearly 11 months, 10, 11 months, you as a staff member have a backlog of work that can't be addressed until manager comes in. So
yes.
It's going to be part of that as well. And then we know that you know, the manager also plays a role with volunteers. So there's a backlog of stuff that the volunteers have been waiting for a manager for. So
yes,
that's happening too. So there's a lot of like catch up over the first kind of 100 days. It's about putting in, fulfilling the empty seats we have right now,
yeah,
in terms of staff.
Staff and the board.
Yeah, so we're in the hiring process right now for a development director and for a public affairs director. And then also our union this summer kind of went through their own retransitioning and stuff like that. So there's needing us to kind of like reestablish relationships there as well. So there's just
as well as submitting broken relationships with various communities who
yes.
feel like we have neglected them. And so, you know, there's so much. Basically, like we said, it's kind of restructuring, rebuilding, strengthening, respecting.
Yeah, respecting the what we have mm-hmm. that works here really well, because I think, you know, if it's not a secret, Cable's been a little bit of chaos in the last year, and I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, does anything work there? And, you know, as I'm looking around and stepping into this role now as manager and having been so many roles at KBOO, I see how things work really well. There
yes.
are so many things that work really well here. And because I thought to myself, wow, we couldn't have gotten through this kind of chaotic time had we not have a lot of things that work really
very
well and
well.
Are very strong. And one of the strongest things we have is a really strong volunteer base.
Yes.
We have, you know, we say we have about 500 volunteers, but we have really, it's about 200, 250 people who are like these
core
volunteers who are just like, what do you need? Okay,
yes.
You need people to do this? Yeah, I'm there. I'm at the remote. And we can just depend on those people. And they're so consistent and they love KBOO. And so I think that is our strength. And we're definitely going to be pulling from them to just say like, hey, keep doing your awesome thing, and
yes.
how can we support you to make it even better? Because I think KBOO does a lot of things right, and so it's about amplifying those things that we do right so that people know we're here. You know?
And not just amplifying, but looking at ways we can do volunteer development, just like we look at staff development mm-hmm. and board development. One of the things we want to work on is how do regular, passion-filled volunteers learn what they need to learn to help move KBOO to another level. So maybe we have them learn not necessarily broadcasting issues, but how you can be part of a committee and help us design a plan or a vision or a project or address a challenge. Or we may develop those people who come out of committees so they can become board members. Or maybe we take some of our high energy volunteers or people who have lots of passion but don't know where to put that, and we put them on project crews. You know, maybe you're the one who might end up being, say, a shift supervisor on a membership drive, or you might be the assistant that pulls together our book and record sale for the next year. What do you want to do? Sky's the limit.
And we have so many roles that can be filled there.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the thing that I like about KBOO is that I'm just like, well, there's no shortage of roles here. And so that way we can include so many people.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different things. And also including people, just on that note, I talked about how when I started here at KBOO as a volunteer, the first collective I joined was the Pacific Underground Collective, which I want to acknowledge right now is having an on-air protest that is addressed towards the board and towards management of KBOO. And they, if you tune in and you hear their show, you'll hear that they are doing what they're calling their on-air protests, and they are saying that KBOO needs to be addressing the recommendations that the People of Color Caucus had submitted to KBOO back in 2005.
2003 is when we found...
Was that the
That was the first one
yeah.
that we did, and I was one of the founding members of the caucus, and I want to send a shout-out to Armando Gonzalez, Liz Perry, Victor Leo, Cecil Prescott, Renelle Shern, Carol Matsuyoshi. Those were some of the folks that were in our first group, and we looked at the challenges that KBOO has when it tries to meet its charter. So, you know, as Jenna was saying about the underground Collective, the Pacific Islander Underground Collective, there are things that KBOO can do much better, and we're going to be hand in hand helping them meet those goals and be the shining light they want to be. And that means maybe changing some dynamics.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. before, I want to get into that more, but just mm-hmm. to say that the Pacific Underground is on the air on the first and third Fridays mm-hmm. at 11 a.m. So if you do want to hear the on-air protest, it will be on this Friday mm-hmm. at 11 yes. a.m. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about what the initial People of Color Caucus was founded for mm-hmm. and then the different ways that KBOO has heard from you all over the years and what has been done or not done to get us up to this moment with that work.
Well, I came in after the Soul Strip had been established. And that was the...
Okay, well, what is the Soul Strip?
I was going to tell you, that is the block of time. I think it was initially from 5 to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, where the black programmers here at KBOO had music that was relevant to the community. And George Page was instrumental in bringing a lot of black programmers into KBOO. I moved here in November of 88, and I believe it was March of 89, I was here at KBOO. And some of the challenges were not recognizing how fundamental it is to have people from a culture involved in playing and selecting and broadcasting and speaking about the music from their culture. And so there were concerns of cultural appropriation, of not enough voices of color on the air. Programmers felt that they weren't getting adequate training and not enough respect. And we got together as a collective, not just with the black programmers, but with the Latino collectives, and most importantly, with the Asian programmers who were here at the station, because they were, I was kind of blown away. It was just one Monday. And that one Monday was shared with everyone who was interested. So it was limited to four communities, and those four could only do one Monday a month. So that was the Japanese and Hawaiian community, and Carol Masayoshi handled a lot of that. Victor Leo was with the Chinese community. We had our subcarrier contracts, I think, with the Korean community, but that wasn't on the regular broadcast. And then we had a couple of other folks who, I think it was a few of them were Pacific Islanders, and I can't remember if the other group was Vietnamese or not. But that was just not enough. And so we petitioned, we analyzed what the dynamics were at KBOO, the power dynamics, hiring, and what have you, and broke down the programming by genre and culturally speaking, and we said, this is what you can do. We submitted these in 2003, and then we brought them back again in 2005, and, you know, some of the things were considered important enough to get a healthy amount of lip service, but they were not implemented. And that would be things like, the next time you have somebody come on and do an African program, can we have it be an African person, someone of African ancestry? Now, fast forward, we hired the news director, Robert Jefferson. He, even though he's a black man from America, he spent most of his life in Japan, spoke fluent Japanese, and he was wonderful. He came here, he took a look at this, and he says, oh no, we can't have this. We need to broaden our horizons. And so he did a lot of outreach into the Asian communities to get it the opportunities expanded and to improve the training and choice of programming slots for folks. And that ended, I think, probably about 2000 or so. And he left, and then that languished, and it shrunk back down to the one day of a week.
Well, now it's even less.
Yes. And so fast forward into, what is it, about 2014, with another group of volunteers that you were working with.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. this was in 2016. Another group, of people of color, we came together and we looked at the 2003-2005 list of recommendations from the POC caucus, mm-hmm. and were upset that it seemed like none of those things had been addressed 10 mm-hmm. years later. And so we wrote an addendum.
Yes.
That I think it took us 18 months to come up with this very long document that was a list of recommendations that pretty much just expanded on what had been written in 2005 and 2003. We turned this list in to management, and nothing really came of it. Mm-hmm. And that sort of has been the unfortunate pattern here at KABU, where we're asked as people of color to write recommendations, to talk about our grievances, to talk about why we think that the station, you know, has a white supremacy problem in terms of just being white dominant, and really lacks equity and diversity in a way that is tangible. And it's been confusing to yes. know why, but it's also part of, you know, it's Portland too. It's uh-huh. it's hard to find equity in a white dominated space. It takes a lot of work. You need people who are ready to have very painful conversations. You need people ready to make a lot of sacrifices of mm-hmm. what they enjoy in order to create space for other people to enjoy those same things. So I'm not sure exactly within our time as interim station managers what that's going to mean.
You mean beyond us having the board officially address this and have that be on our whether it's in our strategic plan or whatever, they're going to get...
Yeah. And because one thing, Celeste, I will say that we mm-hmm. are fulfilling right now, at least in the recommendations that were given in
yes.
those, was that people of color need to be put into positions of gatekeeping and leadership at
yes.
KABU in order to create a culture that is equitable and actually has diversity, because you have to put people of color into positions of leadership in order to make those things happen,
yes.
because we will make choices out of our lived experience
yes.
and we'll constantly be keeping the issues of people of color at the forefront. And we've already seen this happening in the last couple days. And actually, Celeste and I have been, you know, we knew we were going to 70s positions for last week. So we've been helping to shape these conversations around just hiring within our hiring committees, where we stop the conversations and say, well, hey, let's not forget about the equity and the diversity goals here, which sometimes I've noticed don't always happen at
yes.
KABU. And so it shows the importance of having people with a lived experience in those positions of leadership that can speak up and say, okay, we need to prioritize those that have been forgotten for, you know, the last 50 years. So I think that, you know, we might not be able to fulfill everything that's within the, you know, it has become this like 7-page document of
yeah.
what people of color at KABU need in order to feel supported. Mm-hmm. But at least I think KABU is taking the first steps.
Yes.
And saying, yes, let's put people of color in positions of leadership so that they can help us shape what is equity here.
And, mm-hmm. and
oh
what
my goodness,
is not.
Okay. And now this person of color is leading this conversation saying, oh my gosh, we're almost out of time. So we need to wrap up this
yeah. Okay. One more question.
Yeah.
Sure. The document of the POC caucus recommendations, is that available to the public?
It is not
it
yet.
It is not yet. But
currently
we're going to,
publicly.
After we get it to the board, we're going to put it on our website so
perfect.
You can see
yes.
it.
Great.
Yes.
So that will be coming up soon.
Yes.
Volunteer orientation is Wednesday, November 6th
at
7 p.m.
7 to 9. Another very important thing is that this coming Friday, November 1st, is First Friday Art Walk. So
art
come into KABU, come see the art.
Walk.
We'll have music and stuff in the evening.
Art Walk.
It's also the kickoff of Give Guide.
Yes.
Another very important thing that I'm going to say in our last minute that while we're on the air here is that the
book and record sale is still happening.
It's still happening, but I don't know if anyone has heard, but the Lagunitas community room where we were going to be having the book and record sale has closed. So we are looking for another location. It's to be announced, and as is the date. We're hoping to still have it in November.
Yes.
We're working with other locations that are trying to help us. So thank you to other
locations.
Bring
your books, records, DVDs, CDs,
you know. We are
still
taking the donations
yes.
because we're still trying to have
yes.
it, and we will be having it. So bring
we
it
need
in.
A lot. Bring
we
them.
We just took our first batch over to storage. It was great.
Yes, it
awesome.
Was work, too.
And when you say them, we mean books,
Records, CDs, DVDs, VHS is okay. Cassettes. Old tech is good. Yes, cassettes.
But no.
Leave the mold
no
at
moldy,
home.
No moldy books.
If
no
you've got moldy
cassettes.
Books or whatever, leave them at home. If you've got moldy records, take some denatured alcohol and wipe them off, and then we can take them.
Yes. That's it. We'll totally still take your donations. Okay, now we are really, really out of time.
Out of time.
Thank you very much, Erin Yankee, for interviewing us, letting us ramble at you. And Celeste, I'm excited.
I am thrilled. And I think, KBOO listeners, if you can't catch the fever from us, then, well, we'll just have to light you up another way. Must
exactly.
be with the programming.
Okay. So, News to the Boo will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.
Your community connection, KBOO Portland.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church in Portland. This two-day event celebrates the ancient tradition of welcoming back loved ones who have passed on. There will be altar building, Muertos face painting, sugar skull decorating, traditional Mexican food, drink, and live musical performances. It's a benefit for Transiciones, a program at Mount Hood Community College that has helped Latino women for close to 20 years in reaching their academic and career goals. Again, that's a Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church, 806 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This Friday, KBOO invites you to come hang out with us in the KBOO studios for our first Friday Art Walk event and Give Guide kickoff party. Willamette Weekly's Give Guide handpicked 152 of Portland's most impactful nonprofits to help you do good this giving season, and it all starts November 1st. Making a donation on November 1st will give you a chance to win a $500 Pals shopping spree. If you're under 35, you get two chances to win. That's pretty awesome. Donate through our website at kboo.fm/give or in person at our kickoff party. We will be filling our studios with local art, awesome live music, cider, wine, and snacks.